Deanne, I found my phone and now we can record.
Woohoo, yay.
Did you know that I lost it?
No.
I couldn't find it to record the sermon this morning. Guys, we are live on location at Harvest Church.
Woohoo.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh.
Lights are flickering.
The lights are flickering and it's good. Hey, what's up? So I have, it's Friends Day. It's Chip and Eric and Friends, by the way, reading through the Bible. And it's Friends Day. And the reason Deanne is on Monday instead of Sunday is because I didn't feel like reading Song of Songs with her. So
good call.
Just me and Chip, just a couple of dudes reading Song of Songs together. It was cool. But now we're getting into another one of Solomon's very famous works. We're going to read the book of Ecclesiastes. Are you a big fan of Ecclesiastes? It is the weirdest book of the Bible to me.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like the harshest, that's Judges, but this is the weirdest book of the Bible because it's like, wait, what? So we'll see when we get there. Okay. We're going to read Ecclesiastes 1 through 3 and 1 Corinthians 11, 16 to the end of 1 Corinthians 11, which I think is 34 maybe. That's all I got. I don't know what day it is, but you know what day it is because you're responsible. Not Deanne, I'm talking to you guys. Okay. These are the words of the teacher, King David's son, who ruled in Jerusalem. Everything is meaningless. Everything is meaningless, says the teacher, completely meaningless. What do people get for all their hard work under the sun? Generations come and generations go, but the earth never changes. The sun rises and the sun sets, then hurries around to rise again. The wind blows south and then turns north. Around and around it goes, blowing in circles. Rivers run into the sea, but the sea is never full. Then water returns again to the rivers and flows out again to the sea. Everything is wearisome beyond description. No matter how much we see, we're never satisfied. No matter how much we hear, we are not content. History merely repeats itself. It has all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here's something new, but actually it's old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we are doing now.
The teacher speaks the futility of wisdom. I, the teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done under heaven. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to the human race. I observed everything going on under the sun, and really, it is all meaningless, like chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be made right. What is missing cannot be recovered. I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I set out to learn everything from wisdom to madness and folly. But I learned firsthand that pursuing all this is like chasing the wind. The greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow.
The futility of pleasure. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I said to myself, come on, let's try pleasure. Let's look for the good things in life. But I found that this too was meaningless. So I said, laughter's silly. What good does it do to seek pleasure? After much thought, I decided to cheer myself with wine. And while still seeking wisdom, I clutched at foolishness. In this way, I tried to experience the only happiness most people find during their brief life in this world. I also tried to find meaning by building huge homes for myself and by planting beautiful vineyards. I made gardens and parks, filling them with all kinds of fruit trees. I built reservoirs to collect the water to irrigate my many flourishing groves. I bought slaves, both men and women, and others were born into my household. I also owned large herds and flocks, more than any of the kings who had lived in Jerusalem before me. I collected great sums of silver and gold, the treasury of many kings and provinces. I hired wonderful singers, both men and women, and had many beautiful concubines. I had everything a man could desire. So I became greater than all who had lived in Jerusalem before me, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere.
The wise and the foolish. So I decided to compare wisdom with foolishness and madness. For who can do this better than I, the king? I thought, wisdom is better than foolishness, just as light is better than darkness. For the wise can see where they are going, but fools walk in the dark. Yet I saw that the wise and the foolish share the same fate. Both will die. So I said to myself, since I will end up the same as the fool, what's the value of all my wisdom? This is all so meaningless. For the wise and the foolish both die. The wise will not be remembered any longer than the fool. In the days to come, both will be forgotten. So I came to hate life because everything done here under the sun is so troubling. Everything is meaningless, like chasing the wind.
The futility of work. I came to hate all my hard work here on earth, for I must leave to others everything I've earned. And who can tell whether my successors will be wise or foolish? Yet they will control everything I have gained. Yet they will control everything I have gained by my skill and hard work under the sun. How meaningless. So I gave up in despair, questioning the value of all my hard work in this world. Some people work wisely and with knowledge and skill, then must leave the fruit of their efforts to someone who hasn't worked for it. This too is meaningless, a great tragedy. So what do people get in this life for all their hard work and anxiety? Their days of labor are filled with pain and grief. Even at night, their minds cannot rest. It is all meaningless. So I decided there is nothing better than to enjoy food and drink and to find satisfaction in work. Then I realized that these pleasures are from the hand of God. For who can eat or enjoy anything apart from Him? God gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to those who please Him. But if a sinner becomes wealthy, God takes the wealth away and gives it to those who please Him. This too is meaningless, like chasing the wind.
Chapter 3, A Time for Everything. For everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to turn away, a time to search and a time to quit searching, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be quiet and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. Yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. So I concluded there is nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can. And people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. And I know that whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added to it or taken from it. God's purpose is that people should fear Him. What is happening now has happened before, and what will happen in the future has happened before, because God makes the same things happen over and over again.
The injustices of life. I also noticed that under the sun there is evil in the courtroom. Yes, even the courts of law are corrupt. I said to myself, in due season, God will judge everyone, both good and bad, for all their deeds. I also thought about the human condition, how God proves to people that they are like animals. For people and animals share the same fate. Both breathe and both must die. So, people have no real advantage over the animals. How meaningless. Both go to the same place. They came from dust and they return to dust. For who can prove that the human spirit goes up and the spirit of animals goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better for people than to be happy in their work. That is our lot in life, and no one can bring us back to see what happens after we die. Oof. Okay. Off we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Starting at verse 16. But if anyone wants to argue about this, I simply say that we have no other custom than this, and neither do God's other churches. Order at the Lord's Supper. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent I believe it. But of course there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper, for some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body which is given for you. Do this to remember me." In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes again."
So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. If you're really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I'll give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive.
And that is our reading today.
Does yours really say that? Let me see this.
Of course it does.
I think yours said something different than mine said.
What?
Yeah, I'm looking at it real quick.
I'm sure it did.
No, it's do this to remember me. Mine says, do this in remembrance of me.
Hmm. Wow.
Dan's rewriting the Bible over here. You know what God says about that?
It's a New Living Translation.
Yeah, sure. It's a new Living Translation.
Well, there are times things have been different.
Yeah.
Just little.
Just things. In yours. Your little freak Bible over there.
Oh, wow.
And Dan read that freak Bible with two questions in mind. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So, Deanne, what are you going to answer?
I'm going to say others.
Okay.
Because it goes right along with your message today.
Oh, good. I love that.
So, in 1 Corinthians here, 17 through 23, 24, or in there, it's talking about the church causing division and love and everything. And so, just Eric's message today talked a lot about how we are to love others, even if they are not exactly like us. And what we do to the least of these is what will be granted for us. And so just not making those judgments on people and not dividing people because of the church, and instead loving people through the church.
Yeah. What a mess the Corinthians have going on. Like, and Paul's like, what is your deal? Like, you know, we're gathering to celebrate the Lord's death. Like, that's
right.
And you're turning it into an occasion for you to kind of flex your economic muscle and show everyone how rich and prestigious you are. And I just think it's crazy. You know, and this does show something else too that I just want to highlight real quick. I love that they do communion like that in the Corinthian church. Not the sinful part, but the meal part. Like, I love that. I think we're going to try to push towards the fall to being like that here at Harvest Church, because, you know, it needs to be like communion needs to be a somber moment, but overall it's supposed to be a celebration.
Right.
You know, so I like that. I look forward to that. Hopefully doing that here, I think it'd be really cool.
And I love the stressing of, or just the point of, with communion, you know, making sure that you are in the right frame of mind, and you know, that your heart is in the right place, your love is in the right place for others, and that you kind of put all that aside, and it's that time to kind of make sure forgiveness is there.
100%. Yeah, that's really cool. Okay, how does this help me love God more? I'm going to go to Ecclesiastes for this. Here's the deal. He keeps saying everything's meaningless, everything's meaningless, everything's meaningless, everything's meaningless.
And chasing the wind.
You're chasing the wind. Yeah. Yeah, and that word, so very famously, Bible Project, I don't endorse all of their stuff, so don't take it that way. But they did a video on Ecclesiastes, and that word is hevel. And what it really means is smoke. So it's like trying to grab smoke. Like, it looks like it's solid, but then you go to grab it and it's not solid, right? And that's kind of like all these things, the futility of these things. All of these things are futile. And the reason why is because after we die, we're gone forever and no one can bring us back. Except when we die, we are coming back, right? And so that, I mean, like, I love how, whether he's being sincere or ironic, it just highlights that if there's a resurrection, then it's not futile. Like, life is not futile, it's not meaningless, it's not smoke if there's a resurrection from the dead. If death is final and there's nothing after that, then all of this is futile. You know, and I just taught that to the senior class that I teach, and talking about a worldview called nihilism, which is the idea that nothing matters. That stems from the fact that we go from one oblivion before we were born to another oblivion after we die, you know, and that if those two things, if after death is the same as before birth, then nothing matters. Truly, nothing matters. If we just go back to what we were before we were born, nothing matters. But that's not what happens when we die. And so there is value, and there is importance, and there is really like something to invest in beyond ourselves and beyond our limited years here on earth. And I just think that's really, really cool. So I love God more because, as Jesus says, He is the resurrection and the life. And I love God more because He takes away the meaninglessness of this life by giving us new life to come. And I just think that's amazing. So
that is amazing.
That's where I'm at. All right. Cool. Well, Phoebe's here. Hi, Phoebes.
Hi, Phoebe.
Can we go anywhere else besides the auditorium?
I hope that all the Chip and Eric listeners can hear you asking me this question.
Thanks.
No, just go to the auditorium.
But Dad.
But Phoebe. Okay. All right. Hey, anyway, we thank you guys for listening. And Phoebe's being like a little nut right now, so a little distracted. Thank you guys for listening. We are like really cruising through the Bible, and we're getting through the wisdom literature. The wisdom literature, including Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Proverbs, like all that is wisdom literature. And so that's really exciting to do that, and then we're going to get back to 1 Kings, which I think will probably kill someone like you, Deanne.
No.
Jumping back and forth.
No.
Yeah, you were the one. Why are we in Proverbs now?
Well, we went in the middle.
What are we doing? Why are we in Proverbs?
In the middle.
Can I take my
whistle? No, you can go away now.
Maybe it was because I needed some Proverbs at that point.
Maybe.
That's why.
I'll tell you, I really enjoyed Proverbs this year. This is the first year I've really enjoyed it. So it's good. It's always valuable and
right.
Important. But like, I've never really like been like, yes, Proverbs. I always was jealous because a lot of people are like, mm-hmm. Yeah, Proverbs. And yeah. And I've always been like, yeah, I like Ecclesiastes a lot. It's weird. It is a weird book. So it'll be probably the subject of the Facebook video this week, if I had to guess. So anyway, Deanne, I know you're dying to tell me your grand wisdom that you've brought with you today. So what do you got for me?
I'm going to go with the fact that in Ecclesiastes it says, the greater my wisdom, the greater my grief.
Uh-huh.
And to increase knowledge only increases sorrow.
So you're gonna bless all of us by not...
I'm not going to provide any wisdom.
What a great thing. Yeah, I see. I wouldn't know about the increased knowledge increased sorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I try to keep my knowledge under... It's like walking. Like, you're a big walker. You like to walk. I try to keep my steps under like 600 steps a day.
Yeah, right.
You know, to just really... Like, I want to save them all up for later.
Is that because your ankle doesn't work great?
No, it's not just my ankle. No, it's just I'm saving them up for later. Saving all those other steps.
All right.
I think that's smart.
It says we're not supposed to save things for later. Like, we're supposed to.
Okay, so you're gonna walk like 150,000 steps today?
Well, no.
Okay. Well.
I'll walk more.
So
than
what, Deanne?
Okay.
All right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Thanks for reading.
Sure thing.
Appreciate you making it out on a Monday.
It's
really helpful.
That's right. No problem.
Cool. All right. Well, do you want to shout anyone out? Is there someone in your life you want to shout out? Who do you know that listens to the podcast every day?
My sons.
There you go.
I should give a shout out to
them. Good mom. Mom of the year, thinking of that before anyone gave you any clues.
That's right. Yes.
Big shout out to you, too. And you'll be reading with us next time. Right?
Who?
Well, them. They'll read with us next
time. Sure.
Yeah. Sounds good?
Yeah.
All right, we're out of here.
All right.